Last week, we looked at verse number 6. And it says in verse number 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Hey, everyone is in a hurry to proclaim how good they are, but a lot of times you can't find a faithful man. They're not around when you need them. Amen. Last week I showed you that God is faithful. The Bible shows us or pictures us in the Scriptures as sheep. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In John chapter number 10, Jesus Christ talked about Christians as sheep. And sheep are not always the most intelligent creatures on the face of the planet. A lot of times they go astray and they need a shepherd. They need someone to lead them and to guide them. It says in verse number 12 of Proverbs chapter 20, it says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. In this verse of Scripture here, I don't believe he's talking about physical hearing or physical sight, although you could apply it that way, but I'm not going to apply it that way. I'm talking about spiritual hearing and spiritual eyesight. If any of us or any Christian on the face of the earth is able to understand God, is able to understand salvation, is able to know God in a more intimate way other than just observing creation, I believe that that's a supernatural act of God. Now, before a person gets saved, they are dead in trespasses and in sins. Before we get saved, we are blinded by Satan, cannot see. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So if you and I can hear the voice of the shepherd, if you and I follow the voice of the shepherd, if you and I can see truths in the Scriptures, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, it's a supernatural act of God. God raises us to life at salvation. Amen. Very important thing there. Before we go on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for giving us ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, I pray that we would see what you would have for us in this portion of Scripture tonight. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and your love toward us, Father. We are so grateful and we are so honored to be called your children. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at how God is faithful to forgive us. We need forgiveness. Each and every child of God needs forgiveness. I mean, you start your Christian walk with the Lord, you're going to have forgiveness each and every day. God is faithful to confirm us in a relationship with Him. If we're His children, He lets us know that we are His children. And not only that, He is faithful to sustain us throughout all of the problems and trials of our life. He's right there. And He is faithful to do those things. And like I said before I prayed, I said, it's a supernatural act of God if we can see and we can hear and we can know anything about God. Jesus Christ said in John chapter number 10, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Why do we hear God's voice? Because we are His sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The seeing eye and the hearing ear comes from the Lord. It's not that I was more special than anybody else. God allowed me to hear Him and know Him and see Him. Same with you if you're saved here this evening. Supernatural act of God. The seeing eye and the hearing ear. What if you didn't have any sight? And what if you didn't have any hearing this evening? What about old Helen Keller in the American past? She was one that could not see and could not hear. I looked her up on the internet and it says that she had a fever at 19 months old and she lost her sight and she lost her hearing. How terrible would that be? She grew up and became an American author, a political activist, and a lecturer. She was the first deaf-blind person to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree. Wow. Wow. Her greatest disappointment in life was that she couldn't speak well. She couldn't speak clearly. look her up on the internet and you can watch her, and she can speak a little bit. She has to have an interpreter there, someone to clear up what she's saying. She tries to, but that was her greatest disappointment. Now put yourself in Helen Keller's shoes. Having never heard the words, "I love you," having never heard the wind blowing through the trees, having never seen green grass, having never seen a human face, whenever she wanted to look at somebody, she had to start feeling of their face, facial features. If somebody wanted to communicate with her, they had to come up with special sign language. They would sign in her hands so they could communicate with her. So she knew something about the outside world. She knew something was out there. She thought, maybe, I bet it's beautiful out there, but I can't see it, and I can't hear it, but I can kind of feel around a little bit, and I know something about it. You know, that's the way a lost person is. You know, they can know God a little bit, and they can see the creation, but man, they don't have that love on the inside of them that only comes from God the Father. They do not have that intimate relationship with Him. They cannot know Him in a deep and an intimate way. They're kind of like old Helen Keller, kind of trying to feel their way around in the earth. You know, they're looking for something. They're looking for love. They're looking for hope. They're looking for purpose in life. Paul said in Acts chapter number 17 that they could kind of feel after Him, kind of looking after Him. They can kind of see something about creation, but they don't know Him in an intimate way. That's the way a lost person is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, "Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." He's talking about unsaved people there. They can't know anything about the Creator, about heaven, about the other side, about the gates of pearls, the streets of gold, righteousness, holiness, any of those kinds of things. They don't know anything about it. But Paul goes on to say, "But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit." So you're pretty blessed tonight if you know anything about the God of heaven. If you know anything about God's righteousness and God's holiness, you're a blessed individual tonight. You should not take that lightly, because not everybody has that. Hey, go over there to the Muslim countries. They don't know anything about that over there. They have a distorted view of what God is or who God is. Know nothing about Him. So it takes a supernatural act of God for us to see and know and feel Him and just absorb Him and love Him the way that we should. We were made to walk and talk and have communion and fellowship with Him. But what broke that fellowship? Sin did. Adam and Eve used to walk with the Lord in the Garden of Eden on a daily basis. They had sweet communion and fellowship with Him, but it was broken because of sin and rebellion on their part. So God sent His only begotten Son to be the mediator between God and man. The Bible says that He is the Word of God incarnate. Amen. That way we can reach God, because without Jesus Christ we cannot reach Him, none whatsoever. I'm thankful tonight that God sent His only Son so that I can know the God of heaven. You know, that's what salvation is. Salvation is knowing God. I mean, we thank God and we are so thankful and happy that our sins are forgiven. But you know what salvation is? It's God. It's God. It's knowing God. It says in John chapter number 17, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee." So that you can know God. You start on a walk with Him. You start on a journey with God at salvation. Hey, it's great to have your sins forgiven, but you know what real salvation is? It's God Himself. That's what it is. It's God. We get God. You talk about the Levites in the Old Testament. They had no inheritance in the Old Testament. They had no land in the Old Testament. But you know what they had? They had God. Amen. They got God is what they got. You know what? We're pilgrims and we're strangers here upon this earth. We have no earthly inheritance, but we got God. That's what we got. Hey, that's the biggest blessing of all. Hey, that's the real riches right there. Hey, who wants to piddle around with $1 million? We got God. We have eternal life. Isn't that great? It's wonderful. Hey, when we pass this life, we have eternal life. We get to go meet God one of these days. Thank God that He gave us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we might know Him. So that we could behold His face, the beauty of the King. We get to see Him. We get to see Him. So once we're born again, we start on a spiritual journey. We start walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord. Why? Because we can see Him and hear Him, know all about Him. We start that spiritual journey. There's three things you ought to pack on your in your bags on your spiritual journey. Things that you ought to take with you on your spiritual journey. The first thing is a clear focus. Because sometimes we lose our focus, don't we? Sometimes we get sidetracked in our spiritual life. You ought to have your senses sharpened as well. Number two. The last thing is a spirit of humility, because thank God He's given us this sight. The first thing we take is a clear focus. Sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes we get off out of the way and we lose our focus. We have complete and total access to God. The Bible tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Anytime that you need to go to God, you can go to Him. He's right there. Anytime. Anytime. You do not have to have any other mediator, because Jesus Christ is your mediator. You don't have to go through a preacher. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through anything. You can go right straight to God. The way has been opened. You have complete and total access to God. Man, I need mercy and I need grace, don't you? I need grace to help in time of need. Every day, I need those things. But many times our focus, we can get off focus. We can start looking at little things that don't amount to a whole lot. And we can stop looking at God and looking at our circumstances, looking at our problems and all of these things, and we start, just get off of focus. Get out of focus. Back in 1972, on December the 29th, there was Eastern Airlines Flight 401. Had left JFK Airport and was headed to Miami. Was going to land at Miami International Airport. And they were fixing to land this airplane. They put down the landing gear, and a light did not come on the dash. It was for the front of the airplane, the landing gear on the front. The light wouldn't come on. So they said, well, let's circle back around the airport and let's see if we can get this fixed up. Started wiggling around this light and said, hey, the light is not coming on. Three people in the cockpit, flight crew, all three of them got distracted. That little light would not come on. They said, well, let's put it on autopilot. They put it on autopilot, made another circle. Middle of the night, 11:30 at night, black darkness. Kept on wiggling that light, said it must be burnt out or something. Wiggle it, get it a little more. Do something with it. They sent one captain down there to the belly of the aircraft to see if they could see whether the landing gear had come down or not. He couldn't see. And inadvertently, the captain had knocked it out of autopilot. No one knew about it. And they were sitting there wiggling a $12 light bulb, trying to get it to work. And they kept descending and descending and descending, and nobody noticed. One of the aircraft controllers radioed to him and said, hey, is everything okay out there? And that's all he said. He didn't say, hey, you're sinking down and you're losing altitude. Didn't say anything about that. Kept going and going and going. One of the pilots looked and they were about 50 feet off the ground and it was too late. He said, hey, what's going on here? And that's the last words anybody ever heard. They've crashed into the Florida Everglades. $12 light bulb. By the way, the landing gear was fine. Nothing wrong with the landing gear. $12 light bulb. 101 fatalities in that accident right there. Because they got distracted over a light bulb. You know, sometimes that reminds me of Christians. We get distracted with $12 things in our life. You know, we don't look at the most important thing. We get our eyes off of the captain of our ship. We get our eyes off the destination to where we're going. And we start worrying about little bitty things in our life and forget about God. Hey, the most important thing is to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, don't look at all the sins you committed in your past. Look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at your past. Don't look at all the problems you might have in the future. Keep your eyes and your faith on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Don't worry about those $12 things. Don't worry about the small things in life. A lot of us are going for gold instead of godliness. hey, these little dollar bills down here ain't nothing compared to the godliness that we need in our life. A lot of us are worried about our circumstances instead of our destination. We must keep a clear focus on what's most important in life, and that's God. That's God. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what he said. Hey, you know what? You know what the real treasure is? It's godliness with contentment. There's a lot of he condemns riches in that same chapter right there. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. What's he say in verse number 7? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can't carry it out, can you? You know, I heard a story or an illustration one time about an old boy that went into a museum, and he went through the turnbuckle there, and he started looking at all the pretty paintings, and he started taking them off the wall and started carrying them under his arm, and he said, started carrying them away, and the guy said, hey, what are you doing? You can't take those. He said, well, I'm an art collector. I'm collecting art. He said, you can't leave with those things. Where are you going? You've got to go out the same way you came in. You can't leave with those. He said, I don't care. I'm taking them anyway. You know, he didn't get out with a single painting because they stopped him before he got out the door with all those paintings. You know what? We got to go the same. We got to go out the same way we came in. God gave you life. Guess what? You're going back the same way. We don't get to take anything with us. We don't get to take a house. We don't get to take a dollar bill. We don't get to take a suit. We don't get to take nothing. Amen. Nothing. You know who's going to be at the end? God is going to be at the end. That's the most important thing is godliness. Godliness. Look over at Matthew chapter number 6. Keeping a clear focus. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and whither thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, talking about keeping a single focus. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said you can't do it. He said, you try and serve God, and you try and serve riches, and you can't do it. There is no possible way to serve God and riches. A lot of people try to do it, but you know what they end up doing? They end up compromising God and going with the riches. That's what they do, because you can't do it. No possible way. You've got to keep a single focus. Do not let your eyesight be distracted by pretty things out there in the world, shiny things out there in the world. Don't go for the gold. Go for the godliness. What Confucius say? He said, the man who chases two rabbits catches neither. You ever tried to chase two rabbits? You're not going to catch either one of them. You're going to end up empty-handed at the end of your life because you didn't choose God. Amen. If you choose money, you can't take it with you. And I can't take it with me. You got to choose one or the other. Paul said, this one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, he didn't say, I dabble in about 15 other different things. He said one thing. He said, I forget about all those things that are behind. I forget about all my mistakes. I forget about all the sins that I committed. And I go forward and I press toward the mark for the price of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. It won't be worth it. It won't be worth it to choose two things, only one. So we look to God in prayer and we listen to His word. And we live by His word. We live by it. God is faithful. He will always be there. And He'll be there at the end for you. He'll be there. The next thing we must pack in our bags on our spiritual journey with the Lord is we need to keep our senses sharpened. You know what happens? Sometimes our eyesight can become dim. Sometimes our hearing can become calloused. And we do not hear the preaching of the Word of God and the words of God from the Scriptures. We do not hear them like we should, and our senses become dulled. I used to operate heavy equipment for many years, and right now I have ringing in my ears because I didn't wear earmuffs or earplugs. My ears have become calloused. Constant exposure to loud noises will make you lose your hearing. That's the way it is in our spiritual life sometimes. Constant exposure to worldly and ungodly things will make your ears calloused to the Word of God and to the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes our senses can become dulled from overexposure. You know, we live in this world that is full of ungodliness and sin sickness. We got to stay away from it. Cannot let our senses become dulled. Too much overexposure. Sometimes our senses can become dulled from lack of use. We don't use them enough. Don't use our senses enough. We get our senses dulled. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, listen closely. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. We're not in this world forever. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul. You know what's going to war against your soul? Fleshly lust. Pornography will war against your soul. Drinking alcohol will war against your soul. It'll dull your senses. Peter says in the same chapter, two verses before, he says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. America is not our final home. Heaven is our final home. We are just strangers and pilgrims passing through. We belong to God. Jesus Christ is our head. Jesus Christ is our captain, and God is our Father. We are Christians. Worldliness, sinfulness, all of these different things will dull the senses. Come to where, the preaching of the Word of God really doesn't affect me anymore because I don't feel it anymore. I don't hear it anymore like I used to. I've become too calloused and too used to all of these worldly things and ungodly things. You know what we need? You know what we need to expose ourselves to each and every day? The grace of God, the cross, the crucifixion. We need to be reminded about that each and every day. Titus said, I believe it's Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. Hey, how'd you get saved? You got saved by the grace of God. What brought you to Christ anyway and what brought you to God in the first place? It was the grace of God. You know what's going to keep you going in your Christian life? It's the grace of God that's going to keep you going. Amen. You need to remember all about those things. Remember about the cross. Remember what God did for you. Hey, that'll keep you from a lot of sin sickness, a lot of things. Too many times our sins are sharpened towards the wrong things. Hey, you know there's something wrong in a country or in a Christian's life where they can quote songs on the radio, but they can't quote one verse of Scripture. You know what? Their senses are sharpened to the wrong things. They know all about the songs that come on the radio, but they don't know nothing about the Bible. Hey, sharpened to the wrong things. They wouldn't memorize one verse of Scripture, but they can memorize all the ungodly songs on the radio. They can wear out a cell phone in 1 year, but they never, ever wear out a Bible. Had a Bible for 40 years, hasn't worn it out yet, but they got to get a new iPhone every year because it's worn out. Been checking that thing 50, 60 times a day, hadn't cracked a Bible open in 2 months. That's pretty sad. Senses have been sharpened to the wrong things. Don't know anything about spiritual things, but yet worldly things. and know all about those things. See, that's a pretty sad state for Americans. I don't know about your state this evening, but it shouldn't be that way. Hey, what's going to happen whenever you get into trouble, you get into a tight spot? You're going to need some scripture in your mind to help you. That scripture will save your life if you have it in your mind. You must memorize it, learn it, eat it up. Hey, God's been gracious to us. He's given us ears to hear and eyes to behold Him, hasn't He? Hey, supernatural act of God to give you those things. Now, woe unto us if we allow ourselves to become spiritually calloused and flabby in our spiritual life. Woe unto us. God's given us a gift from Him, spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Must utilize those things. Build them up. You're getting flabby in your spiritual life? Sometimes, maybe. We need to build ourselves up instead of shrinking. Jude talks about this in Jude 20, verse 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know what to keep us from a lot of sins a lot of times? Looking for Jesus Christ to come back. And what will He find you doing when He comes back? Must be looking for Him to return. Keep your conscience up to date, I guess you could say. I read a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, if Christ died for me, I cannot trifle with the evil that killed my best friend. You know, that's a good way to look at it. You know, all that evil and all that sin, woe unto us if we start fooling around with that sin again. Woe unto us when we fool around with that sin again. Because Christ died for those sins. He died for those sins. So we cannot allow that evil to affect our eyes and our ears. But the grace of God should compel us to carry with us a certain measure of humility. Why? Because what does the verse say? Back over here at Proverbs chapter 20. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Hey, it wasn't because I or you were special or more wonderful than everyone else. God gave you eyes to ears. God gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. God made both of them. Not everybody has those. What about the Jews in Romans chapter 11, verse 7 to 8? They didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear. They couldn't see all the wonderful things of Christ. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Didn't see it. All of Paul's kindred, according to the flesh, well, not all of them, but most of them, did not see what God wanted them to see. Why? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. So what happens whenever a person rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, rejects the gospel, and decides that they're not going to believe? God says, I'm not going to give you ears to hear and eyes to see then. Yeah, you know what it is? It's impossible for someone who has unbelief in their hearts to understand the gospel. They say, I just can't get it. I don't understand. God gave them eyes and ears that they could not hear and could not see. Aren't you thankful that God's given you eyes to see and ears to hear? Amen. Some people don't have that luxury. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. We know all about the sufferings of Christ. We know all about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Not because I'm smart, but because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us and given it to us. The Bible says that the angels desire to look into the things that you and I read about every day in the Scriptures. The angels desire to look at those things. Shouldn't we seek them out more and look at them more and listen to God more than what we do? I believe that we should. Peter, James, and John had something revealed to them in Matthew chapter number 17. God took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration and he revealed himself to them. It was a preview of the second coming, and they fell upon their faces in wonder and amazement because of what God had revealed to them. That should be our attitude about what God has revealed to us. But many times, you know, we just get to where it becomes like It's not special anymore. Doesn't do anything for us anymore. Well, we revert to other things. It shouldn't be that way. God's been gracious to us. That ought to produce some, a healthy dose of humility in each and every one of us. To think that the God of the universe cared enough about a little speck of dirt like me to care about me and reveal those things to me. Do you know how small we are, how small I am in comparison to this great, grand, vast universe that we live in? I'm nothing. We're nothing. I was talking to Brother Yazzie yesterday, and he said, man, if it wasn't for God, I'm nothing. I agree, Brother Yazzie. If it wasn't for God, what are we? Because one of these days, we're just going to dry up and wither away. God's been gracious to us. That ought to give us some wonder and amazement. That ought to give us some compassion for the blind, the spiritually blind, and the spiritually deaf that are out there right now. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He really cared about those who needed to hear and needed to see. The spirit, not only the spiritually, but also the physically as well. He cared about those people. So we ought to witness to others with grace. Have you received grace this evening from Jesus Christ? Hey, your heart ought to be overflowing with grace. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 7, verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why do you suppose that rivers of living water would be flowing out of us? Hey, to give it to others. We can impart grace to others. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's the reason why. We can help others. So that ought to give us some humility, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, well, we could have been born over there in Iran. We could have been born in Africa. We could have been born in Indonesia and been bound down to Allah instead of Jesus Christ. Fearing for our lives, beaten, beheaded, some of those awful things. It was only by the grace of God that we were allowed to be born here and then hear the scriptures and hear the word of God. It's only by the grace of God. It wasn't luck, I guarantee you that much. It wasn't luck. So our spiritual journey is going to be long and treacherous. You better have some eyes to hear and ears to hear. You better have those things checked out. Because God gave them to you. He's been merciful and He's been gracious to you and I for those things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have given to us.